The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Poverty and deprivation in the southwest inner city of Dublin is having profound and lifelong impacts on the people who live there, from low participation rates in school to poor physical and mental health. And I'm joined now by Assistant Professor in Economics at Trinity, Dr. Barra Rowntree, who studied what's happened in the area, and the Chairman of Sporting Liberties, JJ O'Mahony, who asked Barra to do the research. So you're both very welcome. JJ, why did you want Barra to look into this?
Well, I suppose us as sports clubs in the area have found it very challenging. And we knew, other than sport, like, there was exceptional challenges that were there in sport, but we also recognised from at the coalface, dealing with teachers, be it other groups in the area, that there were exceptional issues in there that stood out more and over and above sport. So with that in mind, we commissioned a report from Barra, and I must say congratulations to Barra, because there's an exceptional report.
So you knew that there was a problem there, but you needed somebody to frame it for you, which is what Barra ultimately did. Maybe you'll tell us, Barra, what's the exact area we're talking about, so that people will recognise the location.
Absolutely. Well, probably most people have been in it, because it's the area of the city centre that's essentially bounded by the Liffey and the Grand Canal, from Russell Street through to kind of Ballyfermot. So that's kind of the area that takes you. So if you come in on the train to Houston, you're in Dublin South West inner city. James's Hospital is there. New Children's Hospital is going to be there eventually. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of area we're talking about. So people will know it and have driven through it or gotten a train there or walked through it.
And when you took a close look at the data, were you surprised at how stark the disparities were between this part of the city and other parts of the country?
I think so, because I think that's, you know, part of the discussion maybe focuses on other bits of the city when we talk about poverty or deprivation. There's maybe an instinct to look elsewhere. But I think what this really shows and really stands out is that there's just as many pockets of deprivation. There's lots of wealth in the area. You know, there's lots of people who are doing well, but there's also pockets and large pockets of severe deprivation. Actually, so if you look at the government's official measure of deprivation, and you look at all the people in the inner city who live in deprived areas, actually half of them are in the southwest inner city. And that's, you know, southwest inner city only makes up a quarter of the population of the inner city. So you are talking about actually real significant numbers of people living in the area experiencing deprivation, experiencing poverty. Income is about 16% below the Dublin average. And so again, this all, and whatever domain you look at, and we try to look as many of them as possible, what really does stand out is that there are significant numbers of people experiencing severe deprivation and really particular in terms of education. Those, I think, are very stark.
Talk to us about education. What did you find?
Yeah, so I suppose on education, there's two things. So one is, like, if you look at primary schools, the southwest inner city looks like most other areas. Kids go to local school. If you look at secondary school, it's just not the case. Only less than 4 in 10 of kids in the area go to school in the area, it looks like, on the basis of the numbers. That just, there are not that many schools in the area. So kids are either travelling very far for school, going, you know, this is a reasonably large area, right? And lots of traffic as well. So, you know, you're taking time to get places. So they're either going to school elsewhere or they might not be going to school. It's hard to actually pin that down. But for the kids who do go to school in the area, the outcomes are very, very poor. So if you look at progression rates to higher education, if you take the stuff that the Irish Times and the Indo and other newspapers they publish each year, and you look at, well, what share of the kids in the schools in the area are going on to higher education, you're talking 36%, which is half the Dublin average, half the national average of 80%. So it really is quite stark. It's the, you know, it's almost the lowest in Dublin up there, kind of Ballyfermot, so kind of in the lowest rates of progression from those schools. And again, if you talk to the principals, if you talk to the teachers in the area, they kind of see this.
So, JJ, I'm conscious, as we said here, that you don't want to be talking down to people, you know, and you don't want to be pointing at an area and saying, you know, this is bad and these people are bad, because that is not the case, is it?
No, absolutely. I mean, obviously, from my accent, I'm from Cork, and I've lived in the area for nearly 30 years, but some of the finest people you will ever meet. And there's a craving for these people, for their kids to do well and to progress, be it in sport, in education, in other areas. But they just don't have the platform that other areas have right across Dublin, right across the city. If the same opportunities were afforded to these kids as is afforded to kids in many other areas in Ireland and in Dublin City, our jails would be less populated, our crime rate would be down. The human cost of lives that this is causing in the area is exceptional, and that's why we really need a government-led approach to addressing this issue.
What needs to happen, in your view?
Okay, we believe is that there needs to be a strategic plan put together for this particular area. Look, every area has its challenges, but Barra has clearly documented with an irrefutable data set that the challenges that sit in this area are not being encountered almost anywhere in Ireland, okay? So for that, we need a government-led approach to put a strategic plan. I think it's timely that Robert Watts has been appointed to the task force, because this area, it should not be lost on anyone either. This area sits immediately adjacent to the city centre, and there's 5,000 people coming into the area almost imminently within 2 years. If something is not done immediately, there's every chance that this area will slide into the abyss and the spillover will definitely go into the city centre. Mm-hmm. So it has to be incorporated into the city centre plan for the area and give them opportunities for education.
The North Inner City, when Enda Kenny was Taoiseach, got a big boost in funding and there was a concentrated effort to help with that region. Is it something like that that's needed?
Yes, it definitely is. But I think what we need to do is take the learnings from the Northeast Inner City. Look at that. That was initially launched as a pilot program. Now, as an initial pilot program, now what we need to do is take the learnings from that, fold them over into the Southwest Inner City, take the key learnings. Look at the quick wins. What are the quick wins? Because this is something that we can't look at the stats. You cannot wait for weeks, months or years for this. This needs to be happen immediately. We need to get a pilot program in place. And once we've got 15 school principals attending an event this evening, that's unprecedented. That tells you the level of concern. So if we can get, we've got all the community behind us. We've got the full backing of the community. Get the learnings from the Northeast Inner City, take them to this forum and let us deliver what can be rolled out, not only in this area, but ultimately across communities in Ireland that are also challenged.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, Barra, if you were looking at this entirely from an economic perspective, there are huge wins here if you do what JJ is asking for.
There is. And so even just on the education point, right, if you got the education rates that going through to higher education up to national average, so not saying bring it up to 100%, but bring it up to where the country is on average, what you'd be talking about is over each of those kids' lifetimes, 100 grand more in today's terms in earnings over that time after tax. You'd be talking about 60 grand extra for the government in tax revenues, right? So there are, I think in particular in education, that's something that does stand out to me, maybe where I'm coming from, mm-hmm. right? But I think that has the potential to be hugely changing. And again, like there's big costs also associated with kind of crime in the area, right? So we've tried to do an estimate of, given what's reported to Garda stations in the area, what does that translate into in terms of costs? And we're talking 60 million a year is kind of the if you look at kind of
the cost of it,
both from policing, both from kind of imprisonment and having, you know, that's about 80 grand per person mm-hmm. per year that is imprisoned, right? The cost of that is, and then there's just wider and economic and social costs that come from that, and that's just for the Southwest Inner City alone.
Yeah, it's 60 million a year. The whole thing is extraordinary, and I know that neither of you are sociologists, but why does this happen in a particular area? I don't know. Can either of you answer that?
I think it can be a range of things. I think it can be circumstances. It can be, you know, when industries decline and new ones come up, some people get kind of left behind. That's something that maybe has happened historically, you know, not recently in the area, but, you know, there's bits of the area that are called tenters, named after the kind of trades that used to happen there, right? And those kind of went and left. It was run down for many years. We're still probably dealing with the fallout from the heroin epidemic in the 80s and 90s, right? And the area really ravaged it in mm-hmm. Fatima, Rialto. And you still see that in terms of the doctor surgeries, right? That they still have huge numbers of people who are on methadone program and treatment.
And drug deaths are still quite high, according to your research.
And drug deaths are still really high, so at least twice the national average. And it's one thing, we actually don't have great stats that are published. We had to get someone to put down a parliamentary question. And what they give is the number of deaths in what's called the Dublin South City local health office area. Mm-hmm. Now, that includes the Southwest Inner City, but also stretches out to Terenure, Rathfarnham. So areas that we know don't have as severe a drug problem. And even on that basis, you're talking about twice the national average. If you just take, say, if you took half the deaths that happened, so we take a very conservative amount, you're talking about one of the highest drug mortality rates in the country.
And JJ, I assume if people feel that they're neglected and they're forgotten, that it becomes self-perpetuating then, doesn't it?
It does. Like, I mean, if you look, there was a program on last night in the News Talk about the real human cost of this, is that, like you just mentioned, drug debt collecting. I mean, the challenges that some people face there is enormous and heart-wrenching, actually. When you actually speak to the people, and like sometimes you see, read a report like this, and if you're from the distance, you see something as abstract, and it's sometimes difficult to contextualize. But when you're the sports club or the school teachers or whoever it was, dealing with the cold face of these individuals, and you hear the harrowing individual stories. If I was to march every member of the cabinet in and sit them down for an hour in front of these individual peoples, I would absolutely guarantee they would walk out of that room with saying, I need to do something really urgent and immediate for this problem.
Because if you support people and if you invest in people, if you give them the tools, we've seen this time and time again. I mean, Katrina O'Sullivan is a person who would tell you that from her own personal experience. If you support people, you will have the outcome that you expect.
Absolutely. And I think people should see this, like in the state bodies, and Dublin City Council should see this as an opportunity. We've presented the data and saying, look, like any business, you work on data sets. And now we have that. We can point you towards the areas that need this specific investment. And it's not a cost. As Barra said, this is an investment. You will get a better return on this investment, even from saving from prison services, social services, all of these. It's a no-brainer. And to neglect and not acting on this report would be almost gross negligence, because this is clear. It's an investment opportunity for the government to show a massive return.
Is there anywhere else in the country, Barra, that looks like this in terms of these statistics?
So it's up there, you know, and I think that's really maybe what we've done maybe in the past, is there's been a focus maybe on particular parts of the city as this is where the problem is. And that's not, like if you look at the city centre, there are these really extreme pockets of deprivation in lots of parts, right? And that particularly includes the southwest inner city. I think there's, in some domains, there's a particular concentration. So particularly in terms of the government's official deprivation measure, which they use to allocate resources for health services, for schools, and, you know, but not necessarily this extra investment in the city centre. If we're going to use that same measure, the southwest inner city would get a big boost. But you know, there is a real need to, I think, address these problems in our city centre. There's been a lot of discussion of that, but that's not just on one side of the river. Mm-hmm. You know, it does extend. Just because this is on the south side of the Liffey doesn't mean that there aren't severe problems here.
And even going back to the first thing that you said, I mean, just investing in more secondary schools in the area, because there aren't enough. So if you want to go to secondary school, you've got to leave.
Yeah, you do. And again, and I think that has cost as well, right, from people who are maybe, it means you don't have kids altogether in the one area, right? And that has longer run costs as well. People don't know necessarily the kids that are in their own area as well. And so I think if you want to...
And you're less inclined to want to invest or stay in your community if you're going to school outside of it, right?
Yeah.
And go to a sports club in it if you're going to school outside of it, JJ.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it with this travel. It's similar with education, right? When you've got kids travelling outside of the area to access sports, the drop-off level is huge. But the interesting point that Barra just made there about the prison services is that my colleague Tom McGee showed me a statistic there recently published, is in the prison service, 70% of the inmates are early school leavers. Now, you combine that statistic with what Barra's just disclosed there, and the future is pretty bleak for certain pockets of kids in this area, and the cost is imminent. It's going to cost. So why not prevent this cost and make an investment and get and take that equation out, take that out of the equation, that risk as an investment, and get a positive return?
Well, let's hope that you convince the people that you need to, JJ, that this is worth doing. It certainly, from what we've seen this morning, looks as though it should happen pretty much without delay. Thank you both for coming in. JJ O'Mahony is Chairman of Sporting Liberties, and Assistant Professor Dr. Barra Rowntree from Trinity put it all together. Thank you both.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.